jovial jams to get you up and running. It's Breakfast with Friends.
Audio Adrenaline with Kings and Queens in just a moment or two. We're chatting to Michael Swain. Joining us now on the line from Durban, South Africa, not Cape Town, South Africa, but Durban, is Michael Swain. He heads up Freedom of Religion South Africa. Thank you for your time this morning, Michael.
Good morning, Jonathan, and good morning to your friends, and good morning to Megan if she's there.
Yeah, she's actually on leave. She's in another part of South Africa, namely Johannesburg. Yes, she'll be back on Thursday. Yes, yes, yes. True story. So, Michael, something that's a hot topic, and there are many articles and many reports. It's about a wedding venue called Beloftebos. And, well, the story that broke is that there's a same-sex couple that are wanting to get married there, and Beloftebos said, sorry, we don't do those kind of weddings. The couple has now said that they want to go to the Human Rights Commission. What's your take on the situation, and what do we need to be aware of?
Well, it's obviously a very interesting situation in the sense that here we have a typical and I think fairly on-point illustration of some of the things that have been happening overseas, where LGBT activists essentially will see if they can do what they can to push LGBT rights above religious freedom rights. And I think it's very important to step back and say that this is clearly a constitutional issue. Section 9 of our Constitution is called the Equality Clause, and it says that you cannot be unfairly discriminated against on the basis of, and it lists a number of categories. Of course, race is one, gender is one, sexual orientation is one, and very importantly, religion, conscience, and belief is one. So these rights are in one single equality clause, and you cannot be, and the emphasis here is on unfair discrimination.
Okay.
And the constitutional courts already decided that there is no hierarchy of rights. It isn't that one right trumps another right.
Okay.
And therefore, both rights of religious freedom and conscience and belief and expression and sexual orientation rights have equal standing in law. So Beloftebos has done nothing wrong in as much as they, although they have discriminated, evidently, the question is that discrimination unfair? And Beloftebos' position is actually quite simple. They say, look, we will hold and give our venue for to anybody. They're not discriminating against the people, the person. You know, some people try to equate, this with racism, but there's a big difference in refusing to do something to someone because of a violation of your beliefs and deciding not to help them or serve them because of who they are. This isn't an issue of who the couple is or the fact that they're of a same-sex orientation. It's just that the venue says that, you know, we cannot, in good conscience, perform a wedding at our venue, because it isn't just the venue, it's all the other things, the support that they give, typically the catering, the decorating, the, you know, all the services that are the add-on, so to speak. And they say that, you know, we believe that marriage is, for Christian evangelical view, which is literally held by tens of hundreds of millions of people around the world, it is between one man, it is between one woman, it's a monogamous relationship, and very importantly, it's a sacred thing because it's symbolic and representative of the relationship between Christ and his church. And Christ clearly taught that for this reason a man will leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife, and God created them male and female. So for them, it is strictly a conscientious thing. Had the same couple come to them and said, would they do a birthday party or something of that sort, then absolutely no problem. Because as I said, it's not a question of the people who are being discriminated against. They will celebrate all, you know, many different things at their venue, but that there are exceptions that they will make when it actually conflicts with their own conscience and belief. And really, all that Beloftebos is saying is, look, we would respect your right to marry or solemnize your union, but please equally accord us the respect for our sincerely held religious convictions.
Sure. It really is an interesting one to take note of. And of course, there are very definitely two sides and two points of view and so forth. But we're going to keep an eye on that one. Then the other reality is that the CRL were back in Parliament at the end of last year. What was that all about?
Well, the CRL are still very much pushing forward to try and have the report that they produced, which they released in 2016 now, revived, so to speak, by Parliament. They've gone back to COCTA, which is the Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs Parliamentary Portfolio Committee, to whom they report. And they are basically saying that these problems are persisting in our society and that this still needs to be considered and still needs to be looked at. Now, it's interesting, of course, that this report has, in fact, already been considered by COCTA. It had three full days of hearings. At least 30 organizations, many major denominations, organizations came and presented and basically put their viewpoints. And that represented probably at least 15 to 20 million people who actually came forward in the terms of the leadership of their structures.
Wow.
And they all basically said the same thing. This is unnecessary, it's unworkable, it's unconstitutional. We simply need to take other solutions, like, for example, enforcing existing laws where you see criminal activities.
Exactly.
Granting licenses to people or not is not going to solve the fundamental problems if you're not enforcing the laws, if these people are indeed breaking laws. And you cannot hide a criminal activity behind your so-called right for freedom of religion. A crime is a crime is a crime. And so there needs to be a much more sort of pragmatic way of dealing with these things and licensing religious practitioners and places of worship, and effectively incurring a system of state regulation of religion is simply not the solution, and it's not going to work.
Sure, that's very good. And then on Thursday, you're going to be in Pretoria to talk to the Department of Basic Education. It's a hot topic from last year. It's continuing this year. It's CSE. What's the latest with regard to that?
Well, the department have made now in Parliament a number of very contradictory and confusing statements. They claim, for example, that there is no change to CSE. They claim it's been going since 2000. What they're trying to do, this sort of obfuscation or confusion that they're creating, is that, yes, CSE has been taught as part of the curriculum, but the content has been dramatically changed.
Yeah.
And that is what makes all the difference in the world. If you change the content, they've been saying, well, the subject's the same. But if you change the content, you've basically changed the subject, in a sense.
Exactly.
And no consultation has taken place with parents. No consultation has taken place with school governing bodies. And yet this has already been printed. It's sponsored by UNESCO. It's financed by USA. There is a UNESCO representative seconded to the Department of Basic Education, who's been there now 3 months to see this thing rolled out. And so we and many others are basically going to go and challenge the Department of Basic Education on the whole process and the way that this thing's being implemented. This is effectively indoctrination. It's not teaching. It's not like mathematics where 1 + 1 = 2. You cannot teach on sex and sexuality from a value-neutral basis, and they clearly have no intention of doing so because it's a very liberal-laced curriculum. So we believe that parents should, at the very least, have the opportunity to see what's going to be taught to their children, and if they so choose, to be able to opt their children out of those particular subjects and teach their value system to their own children. And we think that's a very fair, very constitutional, and very human rights-based position.
Yeah. So it's one we do still need to be well aware of, and when the time comes, to make our voices heard, eh?
Well, yes, and certainly we're going to be, I think, a little bit clearer when we come out of the meeting on Thursday, because it is a big meeting that's taking place. There'll be a lot of different groupings there. And let's have a look. Look, in other countries, even in very liberal countries, where parents have taken a stand and said no, even when this thing has been, if you like, sort of ramrodded through, that resistance has actually caused the curriculum to be backed off, so to speak. So at the end of the day, it will probably come down to some form of protest, unless the department is willing and able and will concede that they must respect parents' rights, they must respect teachers' rights. It will probably come down to, will parents be sufficiently engaged and concerned about the future of their children and their children's education to actually literally take a stand?
So it's good. It's very good. Michael Swain from Freedom of Religion South Africa, thank you for your time. Thank you for highlighting these items for us. We really do appreciate it. And thanks. May God give you wisdom with all the meetings that you're having today and the rest of this week.
Thank you, Jonathan. And I look forward to chatting with you and your listeners the next time.
Definitely looking forward to it too. God bless.
Waking up has never felt this good.
I love the music.
Best music.
Breakfast with Friends on CCFM 107.5.
5.